Welcome everyone to October's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. Spooky for a number of reasons. Obviously, if you do your paper tax returns, that's quite scary. Obviously, Halloween, but also, well, we're... How many games? Some teams are 15 games into the league season now.
And, technically, well, not even technically, but actually, it is November the 8th.
Yes.
I mean, it's not really October at all.
No. Happy November as well. Thanks for ruining it, Berker. Joining us here at the Heating Ops for this snapshot in time, pre-recorded on Wednesday, the 8th of November, for our October edition of the Pitching In NPL show. Berkey's here, everyone. Hello, Berker.
Hello, Ben.
Hello. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right, thank you.
Still friends? We're all right, aren't we?
Well, hired one, so yeah, I'm absolutely
that's
fine.
Good. That's good. Simo is here as well, non-league reporter from Cheshire. Hello, Simo. Welcome back.
It's good to be back.
And James Hayes is here, social media officer for the Northern Premier League.
Good evening, Ben.
We are also going to be joined by the brand new Guiseley manager, Andy Welsh, because he's had a cracking start to life as the new manager at Nevermore, coming to 2 points outside the playoffs. But let's go beyond the playoffs, Berkey. Let's kick things off way beyond the playoffs. In the distance, 7 points beyond the playoffs. Almost 10. Radcliffe.
Oh, that end of the playoffs. Yeah, I was looking down the table.
No,
the playoffs.
No.
Hey, whoa.
I described them as the Max Verstappen of the Northern Premier League this month. Ooh. But that's not strictly true, is it? Because they did get beat last weekend.
They got a puncture.
A puncture, good.
They did, and technically Radcliffe's dad isn't Jos Verstappen. So, Formula One knowledge.
Very impressive.
By the way, from the 90s. Well, if any team was going to do the business over Radcliffe, it was going to be Matlock, weren't it? You never quite know what you're going to get from him. Are they going to do one of those rock-solid Matlock-esque performances? Or are they going to spring a massive surprise like they did on Saturday and go all out and basically go for the jugular, which is what they did against Radcliffe. Radcliffe weren't expecting it. I weren't expecting it. Teagot, were you expecting it?
I was expecting a good game, but again, Matlock just completely ran Radcliffe out of the match. Obviously, heavy pitch. There was no answer for him at the same time. Honestly, could have been six, could have been seven, really.
Now, the first team this season to stop Radcliffe scoring a goal.
Because on average, you could just
at least two goals a game.
At least two goals a game. And at half time, when they made it 3-0, I was like, well, that's the game, isn't it? They're not going to get to that. Jono did mention, though, in his post-match after the 2-0 draw of FC United, that you were struggling with players missing and...
There has been a couple of injuries and suspensions kicked in, so Scott Duxbury being missing for pretty much the entirety of October. A red card early in the month and then a fifth yellow in the game afterwards. So again, he's going to miss the majority of the month. You can see where he's been missed straight away.
That always happens, though, with Jono and Bernard's team. I remember when we played at the start of the month. Near the start of the season. I think it was about four or five games in. They go for it. That's the thing with Radcliffe. But they do pay for it a little further down the line. You're going to find it more. But as every team does, finding it tricky to put out a full strength 11. But it's always more frustrating when it's through suspensions. Like when Hyde played FC on Saturday, they were missing Luke Griffiths. He'd picked up five bookings already, you know. So
just before we're heading into November now, good and proper. But we do have to take a step back and go, look at how many goals they've scored.
Yeah.
46, just 19 conceded.
They're absolutely flying, and anybody getting a little bit excited that this might be deviating from the from the path that they're on. I've got some bad news for them. Three of their next four games are at home, and Radcliffe are flawless at home this season. So I would fully expect them to get back on track pretty quickly.
All that being said, Berke, second place, Warrington Rylands. Mm. Warrington Rylands are there with the best defensive record in the league, just 13 goals conceded from 15 matches.
By far the best defensive record in the league as well.
They obviously picked up a defeat on Saturday against Guiseley, but a lot of teams are getting beat by Guiseley.
Never mind that defeat. Of the 13 goals they conceded, four of them were in the opening half of the season against Radcliffe. So those foundations, which didn't look particularly solid on that opening day, it turns out that they are rock solid, and that's what it's built on. That's what Cleggie likes to build his teams on, and now he's got the resources to be able to go really build the squad that he wants in his own image. And so far, it's working. They've done very well this campaign, still unbeaten on the travels as well. If you can carry that on as long as you can, you're always going to be in with a shout, aren't you? And yeah, they've been fantastic, Rylands, and yeah, fair play to Cleggy and the team.
They've gone 13 league games without a defeat before losing to guys in a great run. It's a good job they are solid defensively, because they're just probably a little bit short of goals. They've only scored 21 goals, and they're actually only in the middle of the league for goals scored. So it's something that
Hyde have nearly caught them up.
Well, that's it. I'd have got 20 and we're in the playoffs.
Yeah. I don't think that's necessarily a problem, by the way. If you keep clean sheets, you're going to win way more games than you lose. And they're having a tremendous, tremendous season. They've laid the platform to challenge for a place in the playoffs. And if you'd offered them that at the start of the season, they would absolutely have taken you up on that offer.
Now, 3 points ahead of third-placed Worksop Town. How would Worksop Town respond to getting knocked out of the FA Cup? How would they respond?
Got a great response, that's straight away.
Did anyone see them beating Morpeth 7-0? A phenomenal result, isn't it?
They've shown a lot of resilience, actually, because they had the really disappointing defeat in the trophy, didn't they, against Mickleover. Obviously, they had one eye on going to Stockport County, and, you know, what a great afternoon they had. You know, they drew themselves level in that game. What a moment that would have been for all those that huge contingent of Worksop fans at that game. And it's still been a fantastic FA Cup run, even though it's now come to a close. But yeah, all eyes would have been on how are they gonna react, and they were 2-0 up in 7 minutes, so no problems or no worries there for Craig Parry. And now they have been knocked out of the two main FA Cup competitions, they have got a very, very busy month to come, so it's going to be interesting to see how they manage that. They're Saturday, Tuesday for a little while now.
But he was a manager who insisted on doing it that way, even with the FA Cup games.
Yep.
Now out of all the cup competitions, Birker, there's ordinarily a lull after the FA Cup, but obviously not. They've got Atherton Coles on Saturday, Stafford Rangers at home, then that big game against Warrington Rylands later in the month. They're contenders, aren't they, Worksop?
Yeah, they are. All right, they got drummed in the FA Cup, but they were playing a team from a few divisions higher.
Who were flying as well.
Who've won 12 games on the spin or something, daft like that. And as Simo said, they did draw themselves level. What a fantastic goal that
was. Yeah, it was, yeah.
And, yeah, Worksop, arguably the best team that Hyde have played this season, at home anyway. Hyde won it 3-1, but that's a very flattering scoreline, that, for the Tigers. Oh, actually, both the Tigers, aren't they? So they
Tigers
are.
Derby.
Yeah, speaking of the Tigers, though, another team who were knocked out of the FA Cup and gave as good as they got. Connor Simpson, brilliant goal as well to make it 4-2. Whitby went to Hyde last night, 1-2-1, down to 10 men as well. Junior Mondal really doing the business for him at the moment. And they're sitting mid-table.
But that again, from Whitby is pretty impressive stuff.
Very impressive.
Yes. Very impressive. Obviously, Marine, we don't know yet how they're going to react to the Harrogate match. Big game this weekend against Ashton. But for Worksop and Whitby to bounce back like that, throw Whitby into this conversation. You know, they're a big game team, aren't
they? Yeah, absolutely. And I remember a few years ago when Hyde got to the first round of the FA Cup, lost 4-0 against MK Dons. On the telly on the Friday night, and just took them a couple of games to get back into the rhythm of things. And it will have been instilled in the players by the manager that it's so important to have the heads on, get straight back into it, because cup's gone, they've had a lovely day out and all that, brilliant achievement to get there, but now it's down to business. And Whitby, yeah, they're contenders for the playoffs as well. It's so competitive this season.
Yeah,
it really is. The very few standout teams, I think.
I mean, for Whitby, and teams below Whitby as well, they'll be looking at Hyde United for how quickly things could turn around, because you weren't scoring any goals, and here you are in fifth, scoring goals, and still defending well.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's built on defence. Joel Amado, he's coming into his own now. He struggled at the start of his Hyde career, gave away a couple of silly penalties, and went through a phase of under-hitting back passes, but he's on it now. He's looking very good. He was deservedly man of the match against FC United the other day. And any team that's up the top has to have a half-decent defence. You look at the table and, all right, you can score loads and loads of goals, but if you're conceding, you're going to be down the bottom end. It's just, you know, logic and arithmetic and how football works.
Speaking of Hyde, let's go to Jekyll and Hyde now and Ashton United. 25 goals conceded, 25 goals scored, fourth position in the playoffs. But they've been in and out of all these cup positions, haven't they? And it's been a struggle for them to get any foothold, really, in anything at the moment.
Big echoes of Worksop, really. And they had good runs in both competitions. Obviously, they went to Kiddie, didn't they, in the in the FA Cup. Really tough draw. You know, bowed out. They lost as well to Redditch in the trophy. Again, it's another team going really well in the Southern League. So no disgrace in losing either of those two games on the road. But obviously that kind of switching between competitions. They've had a couple of interesting games in the league. There were a couple of 2-2 draws, and in both
the one
of those,
the one at Gainsborough, though, is that's a decent result, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a good result on paper, and they've come from behind twice in both of the 2-2 draws. So there's definitely something there for Cunny to be encouraged by. Obviously, he'll want wins, but they've dug in both of those games to get draws. So they're going along nicely, and again, it's how they now handle. They've got a little bit of catch up, I think. I'd look at their fixture list before, but. So is everybody. It's a busy time of the season. Lots of Saturday Tuesdays now.
Yeah, and Ashton have been very, very aggressive recently as well. So again, Matlock Town 5-0 win absolutely destroyed them a bit. And
where'd that come from?
Exactly. I'm going to say the same cliche all night long. Anyone can beat anyone.
We don't say cliches on this podcast.
No. What on earth gave you that idea?
It's a right slur, that.
I mean, if we
professionals,
if either me or you did a cliche, Simon, we'd get fined for it. He's allowed to do that.
Pass us a laptop. I'm going to write an email.
go on. They're looking like potential contenders again at this moment in time. And again, getting results where it counts. I mean, the Bamber Bridge one's probably the only questionable League One from this month. But you look at the rest of them, it's been a good month in general.
We'll come on to that, but Bamber Bridge have shown signs of life. So I don't think that's such a bad result.
Now, let's go to Simo. Because there's a big elephant in the room here, and it's Macclesfield, isn't it? And Alex Brewster's in there now as manager, replacing Mark Duffy. They're still just outside the playoffs, though, even with all this overhaul that's going on. They're still managing to...
But that makes it interesting that they've still hit the reset button, and they really have, because they've cleared out most of the management team and brought in almost a complete new... I think Bandy's still going to be around, isn't he? But... I think it's interesting that they've done that. Obviously, they had a run of poor results. They'd lost 3 of 4 league games, which is why they'd fallen slightly down the table. Obviously, they were out of the FA Cup as well, didn't they, at Alfreton, who they're going to be playing again in the FA Trophy in a rematch, by the way. But can we say that they're out of the title race?
No. Not at this moment.
A Radcliffe fan said no.
It is a big gap to make up, but it's only 4 games.
And it's a big couple of games coming up, isn't it? I mean, especially this weekend, the Whitby Town game for Macclesfield. I mean, Basford have started to spring into a bit of life as well. And then, obviously, like you say, Simo, there's the Alfreton match. What about Marin? I mean, they're just outside the playoffs, but they've got, about 15 games in hand or something? 3 games in hand. It's divisible, isn't it? Nothing like a bit of inflation, is there?
Well, I was there Saturday covering the game in the FA Cup. It was an incredible occasion to see a full house, 2,000 crowd. The atmosphere was fantastic. The game itself was brilliant in the first half. And Marine were very, very unlucky to be 2-1 down. I think the thing that will niggle them this week when they reflect is that he will have some regrets. They gave away some really soft goals, which gifted Harrogate a lift at moments in the game when Harrogate were a little bit on the ropes. But if you're playing a professional team and you give them chances, they're going to hurt you, which is kind of what Neil Young said after the game. Does that detract away from their achievement? Of course it doesn't. They've made the FA Cup first round again. It's an incredible achievement. It's been my first visit to Marine for a little while, and to see kind of the setup there now, everything is in place for them to be promoted to the National League North off the field. And you can argue, you know, that the team is very competitive. They've got a great chance of being promoted. What it'd be interesting from them in the next few weeks, it's a theme from the FA Cup teams. I wonder if there will be a little bit of a reset. They probably do need to make one or two signings. They've got a couple of long-term injuries, and Youngie will now look at that. If you actually look at the recent form, they've lost 4 of the last 5 games in all competitions. So they lost to Mac, which obviously can happen. They lost against the resurgent Guysey, so they're not kind of end of world defeats, but obviously they had the poor result in the FA Trophy before the FA Cup.
I'll say, on it looks, looking at the last month there, they've been pretty much jet lagged. They played Guysey at the wrong time, St Ives Saturday after, been on the road majority of the month. And more for the fact as well, an opportunity for the fans to actually experience the first round.
Yeah, I think that was the really big, palpable big point, at the weekend. It's a really good point. Listen, there's plenty of class in their side. They will be challenging for the top 5. But it is a really tough welcome back to the league Saturday. It's a big game, that.
We'll obviously have a big fixture preview later in the show as well. But we might as well finish off the top half of the table before we welcome Andy Welsh to the show. Ilkeston still involved in this. Ian Deakin came in. They had that little spring up when he came in. Then they had a couple of defeats. How important is that victory against Atherton Coles to get things
huge
back on track?
Considering they were 2-1 down going into the last 10 minutes of the game. So we'll come on to Coles later. It's a massive blow for them because they were trying to build on the win they'd had the previous week. And to come back and get the win off the back of a couple of iffy results will feel huge to them, and they'll take that momentum into this weekend. Although it's a huge game again this weekend, they're owned to Warrington Rylands. I had a look. They've picked up 13 points so far under Ian Deakin, which is very respectable. There's definitely a sense that it's still, understandably, he's not been there long enough. A lot of figuring out going on. There's a big turnover of players in both directions, and that's going to take a little bit of time. But they're sat ninth while he's doing that. It's a very good position to be in.
What's not helped him out quite a lot there as well is trying to build a new team. You have no competitive fixtures. So, again, they've only played 3 times throughout October, and one of them was in the FA Trophy. The next 3 games, realistically, are going to be really important to him, I think.
They don't like drawing either, do they? No. They like Marine, aren't they?
And Hyde.
They like to score as well on occasion too.
Yeah, 27 goals scored for Ilkeston. Touched upon Matlock and the big result on Saturday. They've been slowly getting going again, haven't they?
Mm-hmm. Well, a gentleman called Johnny Margots.
Yeah, when we did the show last month, I think they were 17th. And yeah, they've started just
Are they November's Hyde? Are they going to be...
Very possibly, Ben. But you saw what they did at the end of last season when they snuck into the playoffs. They're a team who are capable of putting positive runs together, just as they're capable of losing the bearings and going off at a bit of a tangent as well. So
I think a win like that last weekend, we've all seen that in teams that we follow. It can be a transformative result. Not to kind of labour the point that Radcliffe lost, it's just the way in which Matlock did it, what that means to them. They had a good win in the FA Trophy as well. Suddenly, you know, they've pieced together a couple of results. I mean, you've had Martin Cruthers on the show a few times this season, and he's always been like...
Read him on last week.
He's been chasing his tail a little bit with injuries and selection and... they've made a couple of key signs. Adam Yates has come back again to kind of put fires out, but it's, you know, that's what he does. But it feels like it's just coming together for them, and that's good timing.
Obviously, Matlock this weekend will be travelling to Bradford Park Avenue, whatever the weather, that game will be going on. And they're taking on Hyde United on Tuesday. Mm. That's a big game, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It should be a really competitive match, that. Two sides in decent form, and yeah, always a good game between the two, actually. So, yeah, I look forward to it. Can I say styles make fights again?
You can.
Can I?
Yes.
Styles make fights, don't they, Ben? And also football matches. Always a good game between those two.
Good stuff. Let's go to guys. We'll be here for Mandy Welsh in a second. But just your general overall thoughts about what's been going on at guys. They started off with Paul Phillips. Then Liam Tong took the reins. And I think Berkey did a brilliant job, didn't they?
Are they building a statue to Liam Tong? Because he's not far off.
I know.
Yeah, but he's going to be a manager one day. From the moment I met him.
From the moment I interviewed him, the first answer to the first question, I thought, are you not already a manager?
Because he is. He's manager of the England University team. So, yeah, he already is one. But he will be a manager at some level in non-league, or maybe even football league. I wouldn't be surprised at all. His brother's a coach at Ipswich, funnily enough. Used to be at City. So, yeah, it kind of runs in the blood a little bit. But yeah, Tongi did a brilliant job. He's laid the foundations here for Andy Welsh, another Hyde lad, funnily enough.
2 points outside the playoffs now.
Or is he from Duckingfield? He's from Tameside anyway.
Another Tiger, by the way, Duckingfield Tigers.
A Tiger going to the Lions. Here we go.
But do you feel like guys, they have now got themselves in a position heading towards winter that, you know, they are where they want to be?
They've completely turned around their season, and Liam Tong deserves pretty much all of the credit for that, because it's not an easy gig being an interim manager while they conducted the search. And he probably did it for longer than normally interim managers are there, probably because it was going well, so therefore they weren't under as much pressure to make an appointment. But, and you know, Andy Welsh, they had that disappointing FA Trophy
Walsall were up for that.
Are beating everybody in the FA Trophy this season, so he's not that that much. But then works up away, Rylands away in his first full week in charge, and to come out of those two games with 4 points is a tremendous return, by the way. And therefore, in the league, carries on that momentum that they'd already built up. They're really dangerous opponents at the moment.
Can I just say, by the way,
yes,
other than Radcliffe, and I'm going to just assume Macclesfield will come good at some point. I think Worksop will be up there by the end of the season, but the other two places, I haven't got a clue.
No,
I really haven't got a scooby as to. I mean,
you can make a case, can't you, for at the moment, and this will change.
I think it's 2 from 10 at the moment.
You can make a case all the way down. I think even Gainsborough have got
The way they've been playing recently, yeah.
Yeah, at home, they'll have to sort their away farm out. They've only won 1 out of 6, and they lost the rest.
But that's
recent. They've got a win
that
recently.
That win came recently, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
all right, then.
At Workington as well, which is a great away win.
Hang on.
And Morpeth have scored 30 goals this season. All right, they've conceded 31, but
that was just
Hang on a minute. Are you writing off Lancaster there? Felly won't be happy. He listens to this.
I think all the way down to maybe even Bamber Bridge at this stage.
Because you can make a case.
Yeah, because of the experience you of might the
not
manager.
You might not be able to make a very convincing one.
No, but you can make a case, is my point.
I think it's harder than to predict than ever.
Below Bamber Bridge, I'm discounting Brad Park Avenue for now, but we don't know who the new manager's
going
to be.
Just going off the top half, you can make strong cases for every single one of them.
Agreed.
But who on earth are taking 4th and 5th? Because I really do think Worksop are going to be right up there. I do.
They look like the real deal, don't they?
Well, one manager who'll be looking to get into the playoffs come April is the new manager at Geisler, Andy Welsh. And let's hear from Andy now.
Well, Andy, a big thank you for joining us. And first, before we get to results on the pitch and where Geisler are in the league table, congratulations on your appointment at Nevermore. How are you settling in?
Yeah, good. You know, Geisler's a real, real good club. It's a historic club. I think, you know, it's certainly non-league. Everyone's heard of Geisler, haven't they? And they've always done well in the past with league positions. And it's only the last few years, I think, probably since COVID, that the club struggled a bit. You know, they came out of the Conference North. You know, they were in the Conference not too long ago as well. And they've, you know, just kind of hit a bit of a slippy patch. So it's one of them for me where I look at it, and it's a club that can kick on with the people behind the scenes, but also, you know, I think they just need a little bit of guidance from me as a manager now as well to start putting a team on the field that represents what they want to see. And, you know, that's where we probably both match up in that sense. You know, football is always about winning games, there's no doubt about that, but I think, you know, guys, they just want a feel good factor back at the football club again. And that's something that, you know, I'm really looking forward to and relishing.
And how conscious were you as well with the fact, because obviously we had Liam Tong on a couple of weeks ago, and he's done a phenomenal job, to be fair, of setting things up for you. How conscious were you to just keep that wave going as best you could and carry on that good work that's been going on in the past couple of months?
Yeah, I think Tong has done a great job. It's always hard when, you know, a manager moves on and, you know, he's obviously been injured, but as a player slash coach, you take the reins and they're your teammates at the end of the day. And I think Tongi was keen to get out of that because he's, you know, he's back to full fitness now. He's been involved in all the games that we've had so far and done really well as he builds his fitness up. But there's a good squad there that just needs that guidance and that platform to play from. And like I said, he's done well with the games that he's had. But by the same token, I think, you know, the games that were in that period, I think if there's a manager involved, it'd be games that you'd be saying the must-win games against teams down the bottom of the table, if you like, or that are in the bottom half of the table. It's easier said than done, but they've done that and they've, you know, they've won the games. And the games that we went to, we just knew that they could do so much more as well because there's some very good footballers there. And, you know, adding Tongi to the equation as a player now will only enhance that group because he's not only a really good player, but he's a good leader on and off the field as well.
And you know, that group as well, I mean, Liam would be the first to say it was very much a team effort. And as you touched upon there, it's a quality squad and they're clearly all have played for the badge in the last month or so. It's early days, but clearly, Geisler are back up at the right end of the table, I'm going to suggest, for where they want to be. What's your assessment on what's possible now, early doors, in your tenure at the club?
Well, again, it's easy after a period of time to say, you know, we should be in the top 10, we should be in the playoffs. You know, everyone will be looking up at Radcliffe at the minute. And, you know, Bernard and Jono have done a fantastic job there. And, but everyone has hiccups during the season. What our job and role is to look at where we currently are this at the moment and know that we've still got a lot of work to do. We've only had, three training sessions. So we've had three training sessions, three games. You know, we haven't played at home yet, but the lads have been putting the graft in, and, you know, they are all cliches, but we're trying to put the work in to get the rewards and also get the lads buying into how we want to play. And certainly the first three games, they've done that with aplomb. They've really put a shift in. Arguably, you know, the Marine game, we went in to chat to the players before the game and said, look, you know, where we want to be, you know, for us, that game was a massive game, even though we were in the stands watching it. We had the option to take the game, but, you know, we said, look, we'd rather watch from the stands and let Tongi carry on for that game. But before we went in, we said to the players certain things that we'll be looking for. And Marine were in a great run of form, and we got a great result against them and, you know, carried on to the weekend against Walsall Wood, where we should have won, but we went out on penalties. And then Worksop on the Tuesday, who I think are an absolutely fantastic team as well. They're one of the best teams I've seen so far. I've probably seen half of the league so far, but they played really, really well against us. And they're a tough team. And you see, they go to Stockport. You know, they got beat, but then they beat Morpeth 7-0 on Tuesday night. So last Tuesday, we drew with them 1-1. And you look at it, you know, I thought it was a really good performance from us. And, you know, to come away from there with a point was very pleasing.
And that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, when you take... Well, I mean, Walsall Wood, it was very reminiscent of what actually happened with Geisley when Paul Phillips left. The dressing room just came together and Walsall Wood were up for that game, weren't they, in the trophy? That's for sure. But when you take that game out of the equation, and you mentioned Marine, Worksop, Rylands, to take 7 points out of that is some statement, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is. But we don't want to get too carried away, because I still believe we've got a hell of a lot of work to do. It's about being consistent, Ben. And, you know, I know we've spoke about it in the past. Consistency is massive in football, and that's what we want with these players, is to play a certain way, but be consistent with it and enjoy that feeling of 4:45 on a Saturday, being in the winning dressing room or picking points up, because this is a really tough division. I actually believe a lot of the teams, majority of the teams, could step the next level up and comfortably play well and compete. So this year, there's a lot of teams fighting for the, you know, I wouldn't even say top spot in playoffs. I'd say to be in the top 10, you look who's outside the top 10 at the minute. So it's a really, really tough league. But that consistency and that togetherness is, you know, at any level is going to be key to your performing on match days.
I mean, we'll come to the Wickerton game in a second, because, as you mentioned earlier, that is your first home game in charge.
Yeah.
But, you know, sorry to say this, but, you know, Wickerton all the way down to, blimey, even Basford away on the 23rd. Those games there, you could make an argument for 0 points in all that. I mean, it is a tough league, isn't it? And a tough run of games coming up.
Well, again, I think with all of the teams, you know, looking at last weekend, people probably wouldn't have thought we'd beat Warrington, and Radcliffe would be watching maybe Warrington and thinking, oh, you know, well, they've lost, but then they've lost to Matlock 4-0. And that's the beauty of this league this year, is that, yes, Radcliffe are running away with it at the minute, but, you know, Burn and Jono are experienced managers, and they'll know that they've got a job to do, and it's about being consistent with it as well. And I think that's for everyone in the division. You know, nothing's a given. And I think if you start taking stuff for granted, then, you know, you're not going to be able to perform and you won't pick up results. So we're going into every game knowing, certainly Workington at the weekend, you know, Danny Granger, you know, Workington like to play football. They like to play a possession-based game, and it'll be a really tough game, no doubt about it. So we've got to prepare right and make sure that come match day, we're ready to play our way and hopefully take 3 points.
And last question, Andy, just about this game on Saturday. It is your first game on the touchline at Nevermore in charge. How much are you looking forward to it?
Yeah, it's, you know, I've been to guys here a number of times, you know, as a manager and just as a spectator as well. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to it. It's always better when you win and that's always the end goal. But, you know, I'm just looking forward to getting the first home game. And you know, obviously meeting the fans and just seeing the you know, my team on that pitch, the way that we want to play, really. So it's a great month for us, though, Ben. You know, we've got Workington at home, then we're away at Garforth, we're away at FC United. I think we've got Matlock at home, we're away at Macclesfield. We've got a really tough month, but these are the games you want to be involved in. You know, these are the teams you want to be pitting your wits against, and I think it's a great month for us, I really do. And, you know, fingers crossed we can just continue to put in the performances and get results.
It's certainly an epic league, that's for sure. And Andy Welsh, manager of Geisler, a big welcome back to the Northern Premier League. Congratulations once again on your appointment at Geisler. All the best in the coming matches, and we'll catch up again very soon.
Thanks, Ben. Cheers.
Andy Welsh there, manager of Geisler, joining us here on this month's edition of the Pitching in NPL show. And welcome back to the Heating Hops. Berkey's with us from 26-0.
Hello, Ben.
James Hayes is here, social media officer from the Northern Premier League.
Evening, Ben.
And Simo is here, non-league reporter from Cheshire. So we covered off the top 11. We had a little brief discussion before that interview there. We're talking about the outsiders at the moment, who you can make a case for making the playoffs come April. It is early days. We're only into November.
Third of the way through.
But starting off, let's go to Morpeth Town next.
Shout out to Craig Lynch, who's just 2 years in charge, just a short while ago. And he's overall done a fantastic job there. I remember what he inherited when he took over the bottom of the league, weren't they? So fair play to him.
They're going to be absolutely chuffed to pieces with the home farm, but they've just gone to pieces away from home. I mean, the result the other night against Worksop.
Because you've got Gainsborough also on 19 points. Again, not consistent.
Yeah.
Upwardly mobile, though.
Upwardly mobile.
But it doesn't
mean... And Workington as well, just... also on 19 points.
I know.
Is 19 points the... You've got your home
very
bankers.
Solid midpoint.
Yeah. Well, you say it's very solid. They're all very, very solid at home. They've lost twice between them. Well, actually, Workington have lost twice at home. The other two haven't whatsoever. But away from home, they just can't get going. And I don't know what the psychology is behind this, because if you're a good football team, you're a good football team, aren't you?
Am I dreaming this? But didn't Gainsborough crack it 1 year? Where
last season.
They nailed the away form, but were rubbish at home.
That was last season. No. But the season before that, they were doing what they're doing this season, where I think they went through the entire campaign, only lost once or twice at home, but didn't win away. It just absolutely bizarre. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
I think Gainsborough, I think it's worth just giving Russ Wilcox a shout out. They've picked up 14 points from the 7 games he's been in charge, won 4 of them. There's a very real sense that he's turning it around there. And in another month's time when we get together, it wouldn't surprise me if they were in the top half.
Yeah, 2 points per game, not to be sniffed at whatsoever.
Very, very good.
And Workington, they would have taken the start, wouldn't they? 19 points in November.
It is. I was reading an interview with Danny Green today. It's really interesting. They've not had a game for a couple of weeks, but he was saying in their case, he's loved it. They've kind of been able to give people treatment, needed treatment, kind of have a reset. They've assessed the squad, maybe expect one or two additions, and it's been a real useful kind of stock-taking exercise for them, which is quite an interesting way of looking at it, because most other managers will complain that they've not had a game for 2 weeks, understandably, but he's kind of coming it the other way. I think they'll be reasonably happy with how they've started, but there's still that issue that they're not secure defensively. And obviously the news that Dan Wordsworth, long serving player, we've all probably seen Dan play for Worthington many, many times, has announced his retirement recently. That's a difficult person to replace, so that's something to keep an eye on. But as a promoted team in a really tough division, I think they'll probably be pretty happy.
I mean, you look at the teams they played last month as well. It's pretty, again, teams all in the top half, or in case of Gainsborough, a team on form. Hyde, Rylands, Matlock, Gainsborough, teams on form. And then Marsh United result was a bit of a weird one, but at the same time, Marsh had picked up form at point two.
What about Lancaster City? Just hit a bump in the road, haven't they? Luckily, they're playing FC United this weekend, so...
Oh, you took Berkey.
Just stole it, Berkey.
I'm on to you, too. Fair this. Come on, Ben. Trademark that.
Well, they're having a rough time. They lost 5 of the past 7 games. I remember watching the interview Mark Fell after they had that great midweek win against Morpeth, and there's a real sense that, yes, we can kick on from here, and it's just not happened for them. They do want to snap out of it, because they are a little bit in free fall compared to when we got together last. Mm. But who would you want in charge to kind of arrest the slide and sort things out, and an easy guy? I think they'll be okay. But
they've always been a streaky side.
Very much so, yeah.
Sure, you know, can I just say as well, the second best hot chocolate I've ever had in my life was in Lancaster. There's a cafe right outside the train station.
Just there on, is, yeah. On
very, very good. Fairly new place, you know, but it's spot on.
Sorry. Yeah, I will, yeah. Just to say, the catering at the Giant Axe is also fantastic.
Yeah, the Dolly Blue Burger.
Dolly Blue Burger,
there we go. Right, yeah. Good. Anyway, right, let's discuss FC United. Simo, over to you.
I've got some questions.
Only a couple, because two quick questions.
I made time to watch Renault's interview after the win against the Dragoons.
Yeah, the Krakow Dragoons.
Krakow Dragoons. He very much tried to angle it as, we're going to use this as a springboard. We needed this.
Just to say, covering FC United, it's amazing in the last 3 years since being in the Phoenix Trophy how much the Phoenix Trophy doesn't half help break things up a bit. It really does.
Which was going to be the second half to my question. So is he on to something?
Yes, and I think it's there's a pattern emerging where FC United will go to these European games in a bit of a lull, and then suddenly...
Well, away day, bonding. Yeah, exactly. You know, part B of my kind of two-part question was going to be, where are the improvements needed? I'd look to say, you've not kept a clean sheet since the 9th of September. So that's one possibility. But where? I think
having a steady side would help. I mean, for example, missing Luke Griffiths in midfield, big loss. Jan Palinkas and Curtis Jones both being out injured at the back. They're big losses.
Have you got Dan Lafferty in?
We'd only been training on Thursday. So it's a big leap.
Good signing, though. Let's see where we are in a month's time.
Bamber Bridge. You said earlier...
I think described it was signs of life, and I think that's about it. But one thing I would like to say about Bamber Bridge, and I'm sure everyone will, is best wishes to Harry Benn's horrendous injury that he had at the weekend. And he's been probably their player of the season so far. What an impact he's had since going there from Staley Bridge. Lovely gesture by the skipper there, Macaulay Wilson, to set up a GoFundMe, which has already smashed its target already.
And went on the social medias this afternoon, so as we were calling Wednesday night, I think about 2 o'clock, if you want us to go back.
Amazing.
He's a lovely, lovely fella as well.
Huh? Yeah, and so, you know, whoever you support, whoever you follow, you don't want to see young footballers affected like that. Hopefully it won't have a knock-on effect on the team. It sounds like they're rallying round him, but I just wanted to kind of say that. More broadly... Only one defeat in the past six games. Yes, they've drawn a high number of those. However, it's kind of that incremental progress. I think sometimes there's a danger you can take for granted just how well Jamie Milligan has done there, but he's having to kind of rebuild the team. He's one of those clubs that when they unearth these gems, they do get picked off, and he's having to kind of do that again. It's so, so hard to keep going to the well. I think he can do it, absolutely, and he'll be really encouraged by what he's seen in the past couple of weeks or so, that they're becoming harder to beat and just slowly going to claw their way up the table, well, I expect.
You say becoming harder to beat, Simo. They've only lost three times.
They've drawn loads of games.
They've drawn more than half of the games. Yeah. Drawn
four of them have
13.
Been in this run of half dozen games.
Now, obviously, it's November. We're not saying who's going to get relegated at this point, but the bottom five, it's interesting because there's been kind of like a mini playoff going on recently.
One playing each other, it's weird, yeah.
And some managers will be pleased. I'm imagining James Jepson at Basford United and Graham Lee at Mask have been really encouraged with what they've seen over the last few weeks. Mm-hmm. So, Bradford Park Avenue, obviously, Mark Bower's departed the club, sending our best to Mark. This relegation out of the National League North, we've said it so many times, haven't we? It doesn't matter what you think is going to happen in the following season. It's a tough relegation.
Well, Berkey said it previously, so when you stick instead of twist, you go, well, these lads all played in the National League North, so they're surely going to be all right in the Northern Premier League, which is largely what Bradford have done. Of course, they've made a couple of additions, and they just never have got any... momentum at all. They did have that win, didn't they, a couple of weeks ago, and you thought, ooh, and then they had in one of the relegation playoffs, they lost the next one, and that's done for him. Now they've acted, let's see who, it's not like they're adrift or anything like that, so let's see who they come up with. But there is work to do.
And when you look at the league table now and you see where Basford and Mask are, they are going to be delighted, aren't they? Because they were off the pace a month or so ago, and now... Well, they're not.
Yeah, I mean, James Jepson, shout out with him, to be fair. He's kind of gone very back to Bates' approach. Let's try and keep some clean sheets. Let's try and stop conceding goals. He's been in charge now for seven games, and they have kept three clean sheets. They've picked up a couple of wins now as well because, whoa, they're harder to score against. You know, it is back to basic stuff, but it's already having an impact. So they've picked up 10 points in the time that he's been in charge, which is a huge improvement on what he inherited. So they will be made up with the impact that he's had.
I mean, you've got Mass' biggest two results in a month. Beating Basford, beating Abbott and Colliery's.
Oh, yeah.
That's, I mean, the biggest one to get. If they lost them two, they'd have been looking at similar sort of situations as Belper last season.
Absolutely, Teagot. Well, you can look at it as you've almost got two divisions within the division.
Yes.
If you're in the bottom five, bottom six, it's a free hit every time you play a team in the top half of the table. You need to be beating the sides who are in the bottom half of the table. You need to grab points where you can get them. Anything else from the top half sides is a bonus.
But just to mention for Stafford Rangers and Atherton Coles, how important was that win against Quorn for Stafford Rangers in the FA Trophy? Because I don't think anyone was predicting that Stafford Rangers would win that game.
No, which is
no disrespect to Stafford.
It's a compliment to Quorn because they'd beaten Leek and on a good run. Stafford have taken 2 points from the past 27 up for grabs. They desperately need a win from somewhere just to stop that slide. It's like a releasing a valve. They need a win from somewhere just for anything to build on.
And finally for this month's show with regards to the league table, Atherton Coles, we obviously heard from David Chadwick a couple of weeks ago after that win against FC United. He wanted a response after the Mask defeat. He got one. It's like I mentioned there about Stafford Rangers and Quorn. That's a sign of life.
We mentioned earlier, it's the flip side. They were 2-1 up against Ilkeston, heading towards back-to-back wins, which would have been, you know, such oxygen for them. And then they end up losing that game. So it feels like one step forward, two steps back. They're in a battle. And let's see if they can pick up one or two more wins just to kind of keep in touch with everybody else. That's important.
And how much did they need that win against FC United?
Yeah.
Well, that's our look at the league table and how things stand as we head towards, well, we're nearly in the middle of November now, Burke, as you rightly mentioned earlier. Time does fly, doesn't it?
Mm.
But to the immediate Saturday's matches in the league, social media channels, you'll be busy on Saturday, I think.
Yes, especially with postponements, so obviously from Friday afternoon on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Northern Premier League, and then Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Threads and YouTube, official Northern Premier.
Fingers crossed the weather will be fine. Let's go through the fixtures briefly for this Saturday. Bamber Bridge against Basford United. That feels like a big game for Basford United.
It feels like a big one for Bamber Bridge to be fair. Slight resurgence from both sides. I think you can make an argument for any.
I'd side Basford only just because they've got the better form going into it at the moment.
In that case, I'm saying Bamber Bridge.
Bradford Park Avenue against Matlock Town. We should say, obviously, we're recording this on Wednesday. If there's any breaking news at the Hospital Stadium, then it's happened. And that's the beauty of the modern world we live in. You get to find out before a pre-recorded
I think
podcast.
On this occasion, there won't be a change. Well, you don't want to play Matlock this weekend after what happened last Saturday.
No.
So, away win.
Guiseley against Workington.
Guiseley's form's going to continue, I think.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Teagot.
Hyde United against Mask. This is a home game for Hyde. Burke, we'll be there.
I will be there.
Yes.
Yes, I will be.
Yes.
I can do Saturdays.
Yes.
It should be a home win. Hyde have got a good record against Mask. Well, they've lost 6 out of 7 away from home, Mask. Hyde have been decent of late. So, yeah, I'd expect a Tigers win there.
Ilkeston Town against Warrington Rylands. That's a decent game.
I would normally say that would be a tight game, but the fact Ilkeston are out of match form might have an issue there. I'm going to go for a Rylands win just on that.
Rylands to bounce back after last week.
Do you think?
Yeah, I think so.
Lancaster City. Oh, is that the sound of inevitability? Yes, it is. Lancaster City against FC United.
Lancaster win.
Well,
it's getting to that time of year. Lancaster win.
There's going to be one goal in it, isn't there?
Yeah.
I'd have thought. 1-0 to Lancaster.
Their last two games have been 1-0. So,
well, it's Lancaster.
And obviously, this doesn't come across on a podcast, but I'm doing that Mike Reed thing. pinching the top of my nose. What about Macclesfield against Whitby Town?
Whitby, they impressed me against Hyde the other day from the highlights. I weren't there. Sorry, everyone. But the way they bounce back as much as anything, they've got their head on it. I like Whitby, and not just out of the kit. I think they're a good
side. They're also unbeaten away.
Marine against Ashton United, we already trailed this early, didn't we?
Probably game of the weekend.
Yeah. No predictions because it's too close to call. Radcliffe against Gainsborough Trinity. Is this the most foregone conclusion fixture of the weekend?
Gainsborough's away form is not the greatest, but the form's starting to pick up a little bit.
You look at it, and it's Radcliffe played 7-1-7 at home. They should be winning. Then you look at Gainsborough's away form. They've played 6, lost 5. It's a foregone conclusion. It's not. Football games are not won on paper, Ben. They're won on the pitch.
I thought you were going to say the one on football webpages.
It's a Radcliffe win anyway.
Stafford Rangers against Morpeth Town.
Ooh. If there's any opportunity for either team to bounce back, this is going to be the greatest chance. But I think Morpeth are just going to have that bit more, I think.
I think it's going to be so tetchy, that game. No.
Tense.
What happens if Stafford Rangers win that game, following on from the Quorn result? That is suddenly shoots, isn't it?
They would feel as much. It would close the gap to the teams ahead of them. They have got games in hand as well, by the way, Stafford. So, yes, that would be a big result for them.
And finally, Worksop Town against Atherton Coles.
I don't see Coles beating Worksop. Not the way they're playing at the moment. No. They're good. They're really good.
But, Berkey, I don't know if anyone's ever told this before, that football is played on grass.
Grass at Worksop. That's
why I had to stop. Yeah.
You don't play football games unless you play by mail football. In which case,
I love play by mail.
I got Ian Rush to play for Bolton Wanderers.
Did you really?
Atherton Coles did beat FC United.
Yeah, that's the thing. You can never write Coles off, can you, Ben?
No.
But I just did a minute ago, so I do apologise to Coles. Emil and all the Coles faithful. But I do think Worksop will win that.
But that's it for this month's MPL show. A big thank you to Damien here at the Heat and Hops for hosting us at Heat and Hops on Twitter. And get yourself down there. If you're struggling to find it, it's just to the south of Manchester and to the north of Stockport.
Oh, God.
It is in Stockport.
Just follow the smell of the McVitie's factory, which is in South Manchester. And it's near Heat and Chapel train station if you're ever in the area.
And people say this podcast is parochial.
Well, thank you to Damien at the Heat Nuts for hosting us, and also a big thank you to Mr. Andrew Simpson, non-league reporter from Cheshire, for joining us for this month's show.
My pleasure.
Big thank you to Berkey.
Thanks, Ben.
26-0. And a big thank you to James Say, social media officer from the Northern Premier League. Thank you, James.
No problem.
Enjoy your weekend. A big thank you as well to Andy Welsh, manager of Guyslet, for joining us on this month's show. But from everyone here at the Enops, have a lovely weekend, and you'll be hearing from us again soon. You take care. Bye-bye.